we're actually starting up a new series next week. So I think Mark announced that at Everton Park this morning, the fact that we'll be starting a new series here at Kalenga. So this time I'm actually going to do just a talk on its own. It actually does flow on a little bit from what Michael was talking about last week. And it's all about asking God. So we're going to be looking at that in the talk. And it's from Matthew chapter 7. So we're going to read now from Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's Matthew 7. And we'll read all 29 verses. But then I'm just going to concentrate on 5 verses, which will be from verse 7 to 11. But we'll read the whole lot, just to put it in a bit of context. Now, this passage of God's word is actually part of a sermon that Jesus preached when he was up on a mountain. And it actually starts from Matthew chapter 5 and goes to the end of Matthew 7. And it's a very well-known sermon. And basically, it starts by in chapter 5 with Jesus saying he went up on the mountain and he sat down and he spoke to his disciples. Now, by the time the sermon ends, we actually see that there's a whole crowd of people there. Now, there may have been a crowd at the beginning. Certainly, it was more than just the 12 disciples that were there. There were a whole heap of disciples that were there because it talks about it as being a crowd. So there was a mixture of those who believed in Jesus and a mixture of those who perhaps had not found Jesus yet but were seeking. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go. So let's just read the word of God now. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you'll know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. That's God's word talking to us this evening. May God bless it to our hearts and to our minds. And I guess in that reading, like, there was so much, wasn't there? There was that section that we're going to look at tonight, but there was also much said about judging. Okay, it started by talking about judging. It talked about the wide and the narrow gate. It talked about false prophets and good and bad fruit, wise and foolish men. There was so much in that chapter. So I really recommend that as a chapter for you to really chew over. But tonight we're just going to focus on one section of that. It's Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. I'll just read it again and then we'll get into the talk. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So there's some instructions in there and some appeal to logic. And so let's have a think about those verses now. I guess the first thing that struck me was with this was that basically Jesus is just giving instructions. He's saying ask, he's saying seek, he's saying knock. So his listeners were basically being commanded to do something. Okay, so he had the authority to do that. He didn't need to justify that authority. He had it. On other occasions, he actually did justify his authority. But he spoke with authority. We saw at the end there that, that they were astonished at his teaching because he spoke with authority, not as the scribes. And so when he said to them, ask, seek, knock, the people would have paid attention. And so we need to pay attention as well to that instruction. And why was he telling them to do these three things? Why was he telling them to ask, seek, and to knock? Well, in order to obtain something. And in fact, in order to obtain good things. Okay, where does it say that? At the end there. How much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So that's what they were being encouraged to ask for. That's what they were being encouraged to seek. Thinking about this, I found it a little bit strange because here was God, Jesus, saying to people, ask me and I'll give you something good. And it made me think about children and the fact that with children, you actually don't have to ask them to ask for things, do you? They just do it naturally. They're always asking for things all of the time. They're constantly saying, asking something of mum or dad, mum, can I eat this chocolate pudding in the fridge? Or, you know, can I have some money for Macca's, dad? I want to go to Macca's. They might, you know, can you fix my bike? Dad has got a flat. Or can you take me to the Paddos, please? I want to go hang out with Jasmine. So, you know, their requests, we're used to hearing them. They're there. Our kids are always asking for things, and our general response as parents is to think, okay, well, you know, this is reasonable, and you give them the things that you believe are good for them. And so in these verses, basically Jesus is telling his listeners that he's the same. He wants to give good gifts to his children as well. In fact, he's a lot better. He's a lot better than earthly parents. Earthly parents get sick of their children asking for things. They you want something, what else do you want? And you get annoyed. Whereas God doesn't do that. He actually wants us to keep asking. He tells us to keep seeking and to keep knocking. That's pretty amazing. And it's a really wonderful opportunity for us as dependent beings, because we are dependent on God. We're dependent on God for everything that we need. And what God is saying to us, in fact, he's actually commanding us to do this. It's not a suggestion. He's saying that we need to do this. We need to ask, we need to seek, and we need to knock. Now, why do we as adults or as parents find it a lot harder to do that? If you really think about it, kids are great at asking. Adults aren't so great at asking. What's the difference? Why are adults so reticent to ask for something? Because when you think about it, we really don't like to ask. We like to feel like we've got our lives in control and that we can look after ourselves. As we grow up, we tend to move from that situation where as kids we are constantly asking for things, and we tend to try to depend on others a lot less. It's about a growing sense of self-sufficiency, feeling like we're in control of our lives. So we like to imagine that we can look after ourselves. We like to then try not to ask so many favours from others. Because when we do that, we actually have to humble ourselves. We have to place ourselves under someone else. Because when you ask for something, basically someone with greater power than you is giving you something that you can't supply for yourself. So we don't, as we grow, we tend to do that less. Because we like to feel more powerful. We like to feel more in control. And the fact is that God knows that we're actually not in control. He actually knows that he is the source of all things, and so we actually do need to come to him and to ask him for things. But to ask him for things takes humility. Have another think about the things that Jesus tells us to do. He tells us to ask, he tells us to seek, and he tells us to knock. And these are all actions that we perform when we're powerless. We ask for things when we need or want something that is not in our power to obtain on our own. We seek something that is elusive, that we can't get hold of. We knock at the door of a house because when we're outside, we want to come in, but we can't simply open the door. It's locked. We're dependent on someone inside to actually unlock that door and open it for us. And so we're being asked to do something that humbles us. Now, I talked earlier about the fact that Jesus was talking to two groups of people here, those who already believed in him and those who didn't. Now, for God's adopted children, this instruction relates to our spiritual growth. There are many good things that we can ask for. There are good and godly habits we should be seeking, and we should be persistent about praying to God for spiritual blessings. But for those who actually haven't yet made their peace with God, Jesus' instruction takes on a whole different meaning and emphasis. Now, when I say those who've not yet made peace with God, I'm talking about people who haven't yet been saved. Remember, we talked about this last week with Michael. We talked about salvation. We talked about what it meant to be saved. Michael took us through Ephesians 2, and And that reading told us about the wonderful process of salvation, how God turns one who's spiritually dead into one who is alive and made right with God. And this reading from Matthew also relates to this same process, this process of salvation. And so that's what I'm really wanting to focus on now, because Jesus tells us some really plain things to those who come to realize that they're actually not right with God. That they're not right with God. And that's the first step. That's the first step to coming to God, to realize that you're actually not right with God. That you actually are not right with God. But if you think about it, if you think you are right with God, why would you then ask God for help? You wouldn't, you would think that you're okay with God. And though, in other words, there are some who just think, no, I'm fine. I don't have a problem. This salvation thing, what's that all about? You know, saved from what? I'm fine. I'm not in any trouble. Mark 2, verse 17 actually deals with this. It says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. This is Jesus talking. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In other words, those who are well, okay, are those who think that they're righteous already. They think that they're righteous already. They think that they are okay with God. They think that they've ticked all the boxes and there's nothing more to be done. They'll go straight to heaven when they die. And Jesus says, no. If you think you're like that, I haven't come for you. I've come for those who are sinners, those who see that they have a problem, those who recognize the fact that they are guilty before God. So it's those that have humbly recognized that they are sinners that Jesus is speaking to in our reading. It's those who know that they are guilty of breaking God's law and who know that they deserve punishment that are being spoken of. Now, what do those people actually look like? We're talking about people who actually aren't full of themselves. We're talking about people who are the very opposite of full of themselves. They've realised that they're actually pretty useless. They're people that have realised that they're pretty useless. In fact, they've got this big, heavy burden of guilt and sin on them that they're constantly lugging around. They're just not really happy with themselves. They've got this heavy burden that they need to get rid of. And the burden's always there, and they don't know how to get rid of it. But there's a great and famous story that John Bunyan wrote many years ago that deals with this topic. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. And if you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, you should get it and read it. And you could get it off me, or I'm sure Ken would have a copy and others would have copies of Pilgrim's Progress. And it's this story about a guy called Christian who's been living in the city of destruction, and he has this great burden on his back. You can see there he's got this great big burden that he's carrying around with him. He can't get rid of it. He can't get rid of it. He hasn't worked out how to get rid of it. He's on a quest to get rid of it. And the story goes on, and it takes us through how he ends up getting rid of it. And he gets rid of it when he comes to Christ. And then it goes on to talk about how once he's gotten rid of his burden, then all the different, the various difficulties that he had in his life as a Christian. So it's actually a book that talks about the Christian life, but all the way from when a person is yet an enemy of God to the time that he dies as a friend of God. Now, there's a verse in Matthew 11 where Jesus actually speaks to people just like Christian, who have this great big burden of guilt and sin on their back that they can't seem to take off. And he says there, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden." Heavy laden means you've got that great big burden on your back, and I will give you rest. And so that's a really beautiful invitation. It's an invitation that should give comfort to those who are feeling this way, who realise that they are sinners, who realise that they need to get rid of this burden that has just been pulling them down all of these years. So we're talking here, we're not talking about a self-confident person, we're not talking about a self-sufficient person, we're actually talking about a very, very tired person. A very, very tired person. A person who wants rest. A person who realises they don't have the capacity in themselves to obtain that rest. Now, in our reading, Jesus gives practical instructions as to how to go about coming to him. How to go about coming to him. He says, ask. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open to you. Now, if you're a salvation seeker like Christian and you've got this huge burden of guilt on your back, what Jesus tells you is that the first thing you need to do is to ask. The first thing you have to do is to ask. You have to ask God to remove your burden of sin. This means praying for forgiveness. It means admitting that the fault is with you. That the fault is with you. It means owning the sins that you have committed. And not owning them in the way, that was something that I used to do back then and I'm okay now. It's like, I have done these horrible things. I do these horrible things. I'm not right with God and I need to get right with God. It's something that's laying heavy on me. And so you need to own it. You need to confess it. You can't make excuses for your sin. And it's not just enough to ask for forgiveness. You need a different path for your life. And so that's where the seeking comes in. You really need to seek that. Finding the truth can be really hard work. The good thing is we have direction. And the direction that we have is in the Bible. And these are very easily, they're very available, okay, freely available at all sorts of stores. The Bible is something that is wonderfully available for us in Australia. In other countries, they're not so available, whereas here in Australia, they are. And that's a wonderful thing. So get yourself a Bible and start reading it. Of course, the Bible's a big book, and you have many questions that you need answered. You need guidance on your spiritual journey. And so this is something that requires perseverance. You need to keep doing it. Okay, you need to, in this lama, the word for knocking is kilkilimdoa. So you just keep doing it. And it's really quite funny when we went over to Vanuatu and we had Nicol and Deliana next door to us. And whenever any of them came over to our house, and they would knock on the door. But they didn't just knock on the door like that and wait. What they did was, they just kept knocking on the door until we finally opened the door. And this is the sense of it. This is the sense of what the scriptures are saying. You just keep knocking. You keep knocking, you persevere. And you continue to seek, you continue to ask, you continue to look, you continue to want direction and to seek that direction. When the Holy Spirit shows you the areas where you need to repent, where you need to turn around, then you need to act on that. You must continue, you must act, and you must continue to look for God's guidance in your life and not give up. And so that's another key part of coming to Christ. You confess your sin, you repent of it, you turn to God. Now what Jesus also says is that you, if you genuinely ask, if you genuinely seek and knock, you can actually be assured. You get a guarantee. You get a guarantee that Jesus will answer you. You'll find what you seek and the door of blessing will be open to you. In other words, he's saying, come to me, I won't let you down. I won't let you down. You're not going to be disappointed. And that encouragement is there in verse 8. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. This is a promise. It's a promise to those who genuinely seek God. But the seeking, of course, must be genuine. The good news that Jesus offers, don't think of it in a wrong way. Don't think of it an infomercial. In the mornings, I go to the gym down at Jensen's at Rockwell, and they have like all these different screens on the wall as you're on your treadmill. And there's always these infomercials that are just constantly going. They're just constantly trying to sell you stuff and telling you that it's the best thing in the world. And they just want to sale. They want to sale. Well, here at Kalenga, we're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to sell you some sort of spiritual package that you can buy and take home with you and feel like, yes, I've got something good. If you're thinking about Christianity in those terms, you've actually completely missed the message of the gospel. Because remember, what you're being offered is salvation. What you're being offered is salvation. Which means that you're in major trouble. Salvation means to be saved from something. And so when you think about that, you should be thinking a lot more about this sort of situation, where you're in deep trouble and there is a life ring that's being thrown to you. You're in deep trouble, you're in distress. You should be imagining a situation where you're in deep water and high seas about to drown. You need rescuing. You're a man overboard. And the gospel is the lifesaver's ring that's being thrown out to you. And these verses that we've been reading in Matthew are the verses, are the instructions that are being yelled out from the rescue ship. They're important. You can't have an attitude of, I'll take it or leave it. You can't have that attitude. It's a life or death situation. Now, you know, there's a lot of people who actually think about Christianity negatively. They say things like, oh, if that's what you believe, fine, but don't try and drag me into it. Or they might say, Jesus' message doesn't really suit me. It might have suited people back in the 18th and 19th century, but we're living in the 21st century. I'm not interested. Well, I can tell you that's a bit like the person in the waves yelling back to the lifesavers as they're being thrown around by the waves, yelling back to them and saying, I don't need the ring, don't worry. In fact, it's annoying you that you keep throwing it out at me. Just leave me alone, I'm fine. Leave me alone, I'm fine. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. There's another saying, never, probably to those you agriculturalists out there, never look a gift horse in the mouth. Who's heard of that one? Never look a gift horse in the mouth. Yeah? A few of you? That's good.
Okay, well, Jesus' offer of salvation is a free offer. Okay, it's a free offer. It's an amazing gift. And yet so many people, they reject it. They reject it. They check it out. They think about, is this going to suit me or not? And they decide it's not for them. They think, Christianity, not for me. Well, Jesus says that arguments like that don't make any sense at all. Have a look at verses 9 to 11 of our reading. It says there, "What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So he's saying that you guys who are earthly parents, who are nowhere near as good as I am, you guys are evil, and yet you guys know how to give good gifts to your children. Well, how much more am I, says God, how much more will I give good gifts to those who ask me? And so, we don't offer our kids something bad, and God's not going to offer us something bad either. That's the point. What's being offered is a wonderful gift. What's being offered is the tastiest thing that a little kid could ask for from the kitchen. It's the greatest thing that we could imagine for ourselves. It's something that should be automatically accepted. And so we need to think about the gospel in those terms. We need to realize that in these verses, a wonderful open offer is made. Seekers of truth are told to voice their desires to God. We need to say to God, "Yes, God, I desire you. Yes, God, I want that salvation that's offered through Jesus Christ." He tells us how to do that. He tells us to ask, to seek, to knock. And if we do that, God promises to give us the desires of our hearts. He promises to give us those good things, those spiritual truths that we desire so much. He promises to get rid of that heavy burden that's been laying us down, that's been bearing us down for so long. So just to finish, I really just want us to finish on the verse which we did read from earlier. It's a couple of verses from Matthew 11. It's 11 verses 28 to 30. It says there, it's the words of Jesus were given to us. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A yoke is a great big heavy thing. It's a great big heavy thing that they put on oxen and they drag the plough around the field. Well, when you become a Christian, you become tied to Jesus, but his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and you have rest for your souls. So my prayer is that you'll have a good think about that tonight, and it's something that it's actually the central part of what we are doing here at Kalanga. We're trying to present God's word to you, and so my prayer is that God would lay his words on your hearts tonight.